The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at all.
All right, 10 now. We have a hero, and I don't mean you, Dean, and it's certainly not me. Do you know about this hero?
I have been marveling at the story of the guy who was on the L train. The guy was in Chicago for the marathon.
Right.
He's on the L train, and he sees somebody with a gun who's, you know,
Mugging people.
And he disarms the guy, goes up and takes control of the situation.
We want this guy to be known even more than he already is, because apparently he's a star back home as well. Boston's own Jean-Paul Lapierre, who joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Thanks for doing what you did, man. I saw the video. You are one brave stand-up dude, and I respect that.
Thank you. I love Chicago. Chicago always have a special place in my heart, you know. It's my home away from home.
So, Jean-Paul, what's going through your mind as you're sitting there and watching what's going on?
It happened so fast. I was angry. I became really, you know, I don't like people to prey on people, and I just thought it was, you know, unbelievable. I can understand people not wanting to help because the guy did have the gun. So I don't blame people for not helping. I don't have any anger. I don't have any kind of thing like that for that situation, because I can understand it. That, you know, I realized what I was doing. I realized what my concern was. I had to get close to that guy, and I had to get close to him fast. Okay. And when I got up to him, I knew that if I could get close enough to that guy, that if he made a flinch, I would knock him out of one punch.
And by the way, knock him out of one punch, Dean, he means that. This guy's a Golden Gloves boxer.
Mm. I boxed for a couple of years when I was in my teens, but I had always fought. I got in a lot of fights as a kid, and growing up, I got in a lot of trouble. I mean, I wasn't always an innocent kid.
Jean-Paul, can you describe what was happening? Like, what did you see, and how did you first notice it? Because it seemed like there were people seated on the train.
Yeah, and he was like the whispering mugger. Yeah, he was quiet.
Yeah, it was strange, because he was all the way at the front of the train, and I saw him, like, with another guy, and like the other guy was at the door a little closer to us. He kept like sticking his head into the train, this other guy, and then the big guy that I took down, he was way at the front of that train, and like he looked like he was going person to person bumming change. But then all of a sudden, when the train came to the stop, the Cumberland stop, everybody that was in the back that I was sitting with, and we were all just kind of talking, but they kind of became quiet, and then they got off the train fast. I'm like the only one sitting in the back of the train. So I got out because I thought, well, maybe they know of another train coming to go faster. So I don't know what's going on. So I got out, and I said to the guy, why didn't anybody get out? I said, we got three or four more stops got to go. And they're like, there's a guy on the front of the train. He's robbing people. I said, yeah? And they're like, yeah, with a gun. I'm like, he has a gun. I said, I didn't see a gun. They're like, no, he has a gun. I said, he's in his right hand. He's walking around with a gun up there. So I went, I said, okay. I said, I just got mad. And I one thing that went through my mind is I'm not going to watch this. I'm always telling people, you know, sometimes, you know, don't be afraid to take a chance. And if you think you can do something, not to take a stupid chance and get shot in the head.
Right.
But I felt that I had enough confidence in my skills to be able to get up close to him enough that I knew that if I could just get close, that I'd be able to take control of him. I knew I'd be able to control him. Once I got my hand on him, when I felt my grip, my strength, and his body weight, then I knew that.
The phone is going nuts. You guys talk to him off the air until we can get him back. Dean, the amazing thing was, you've seen the video, he's shorter than the guy that was doing the mugging.
Yeah,
the guy that's doing the mugging is
a big guy, yeah.
And he's holding the guy. He's got the guy forearm pressed against like the door of the train with his fist back. Like, at any given time, I'm going to knock you out. Any number of bad things could have happened.
I don't know. I mean, you have to ask yourself, what would you do in a situation like that if you saw something like that going on? I guess if you had, you know, special skills like Jean-Pierre does, and you feel confident that you could overpower the guy. But you know, in my mind, I would go, is this worth, possibly getting shot? Is it worth a gun going off and maybe an innocent bystander being shot, somebody being shot? Is it, or do you just, you know, push the guy off the train?
It's the ultimate question. What do you do when you get into a situation like that? What do you do?
The other thing that happens when you're riding on the train is that a lot of people are just, their faces are buried in their phones,
yeah.
And there's a lot of people floating in and out. There are a lot of folks selling things or like bumming change. So sometimes you don't even know what's really going on around you.
Well, imagine trying to process a live string of muggings going on as well. I think the phone's back. All right, John Paul, we're not going to keep you forever here, but we did want to thank you. And of course, one of the most important questions is: did you make it to the marathon, and what was your time?
My time was terrible. I mean, I'm an unofficial runner. I usually buy numbers from different people and send, you know, I'm an unofficial runner. I just run to run. I'm about 5.5 hours. I tend to run in, when I see people having running, I go up to them, and it was my 43rd marathon that I've run in my life. And so I tend to feel like an MC of a marathon. I go, and if I see people having trouble, and I try to give them advice on how to finish.
Yeah, you're the cheerleader. Did you say
cheerleader? I'm the on-field cheerleader.
Did you say 43rd?
Yeah, I've done 20 Bostons in a row. I've done 12. This was my 12th Chicago in a row, and then I'll do New York in another month. I'll do my 12th New York in a row.
You got family?
Yes, I do, sir. Yeah, I just got married a month ago for the first time.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
Yeah. A stepdaughter and a stepson, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm very lucky. It's actually a funny story. I carried the cake topper. I was a pastry chef for over 30 years. So if you Google my name and put pastry, you'll see some things about me. But I carried the cake topper that I bought in one of the first pastry shops I worked in back in 1988. I carried that for 31 years because I liked it and I wanted it on my cake. So finally I got to put it on after 31 years.
You romantic hero, you.
I bet you are a handful,
though. If you get a chance, there's a book that's been written about me about another incident I did. It's called Flying the Talk. It was written by Griffin Van Gilder. It just came out in Amazon, but it's about an incident that I was involved with around 25 years ago. And to put it to you in a nutshell, a woman lost a big manuscript 25 years ago in the snow. And this was before social media. I spent 4.5 months tracking her down. I tracked her down and returned her book. And then she ended up writing about it in a book, plus a bunch of other incidents that I've been involved with are written in the book.
You said Flying the Talk.
Flying the Talk by Griffin Van Gilder. The first chapter starts off with my name, Jean-Paul Lapierre, and it talks about me, but it's fiction based on some fact.
Well, that's pretty cool. I ready to get in. Group hug for Jean-Paul. Come on, get in here.
Come on, man.
Hey, listen, I will be back to Chicago for that sentencing. I'm writing an impact statement, and I'm hoping that I'm invited to be there to read it to that.
You're also invited in studio, man. If you get back, let us know. Hold on before you hang up, and all of our producers talk to you so we can stay in touch.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right, thanks, Bill.